Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
Second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 is Women in Career Night at the Bike Kitchen. Bring your bike and give it some love in this safe and positive space for anyone who identifies as female or queer. Come learn how to fix your own bike with the help of a female or queer identified mechanic and volunteers. Plus, there's free pizza. Visit bikecoop.ca for more information.
You have hair?
Do you want to help children in need? The UBC Cancer Association has an event for you. Cusford Cancer provides visitors with professional haircuts, with all proceeds going to the Canadian Cancer Society. With a donation of over 8 inches, the haircut is free. Hair donations are made into wigs for patients at the BC Children's Hospital. Last year, we raised over $65,000, but this year we hope to break $100,000. Help make our dreams possible this February. Check out the UBC Cancer Association Facebook page for more details.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falundafafellowship.com.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is the White Noise Comedy Show. That's right, that's a half hour of sketch comedy And we are, of course, going to play the White Noise After Show right after, which is a mix of music and discussion. So we're going to talk about some of the things within the show and some of the sort of current events that are happening at the moment. And we've got an even bigger thing going on this week, which is we're giving away advanced screening tickets to Zoolander 2 in Vancouver next week on Wednesday, February 10th. And I'm sure you all want them. So if you're gonna, if you want to get your hands on, we've got two pairs of tickets to give away. So you can get a pair of tickets. And this is all you got to do. All you have to do is this. You have to send in the reason why I should give you those tickets. And the best reasons, you know, based on our opinion here, of mine and Connor's opinion.
That was actually very generous of you, because you just said my opinion, and then you've gone and spread the joy. Actually,
yeah,
very,
yeah,
very
of
kind.
Course. We're going to include...
But to be honest, that makes the challenge more difficult, because now I have to consider my opinion, which by far is completely different than Simon's, of course. We come from different backgrounds, different perspectives.
It really doesn't. Just send in something funny or a damn good reason, and we'll give them to you. So how do you send it in? You send in your answers to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. So you've got a whole... we're going to give you 2 days to do that. So make sure you do that. And while you're thinking of your good answer, I think it's time for a bit of White Noise.
We'll pay postage as well on that. So just make sure, like, you know, bill us.
The email postage?
Yeah.
Warning. The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore. Coming up is the best of. First up tonight, someone needs a new career.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Job Finders, where we find you the work that suits your desperation.
Hi there. I have an appointment about some possible career guidance.
Name?
Huh?
Your name, sir.
Huh.
Are you deaf?
No, Korean. My name is Huh.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess it happens all the time.
No, this is the first time ever anyone has been confused about that.
Oh. Well, what sort of employment are you looking for?
Well, I currently work with children, so preferably something not working with children.
Anything else?
Well, I was thinking maybe something underwater.
Oh, yes, that's very popular right now. Wet is the new dry.
Well, I've wanted to work underwater ever since I saw Finding Nemo. I really want to help underprivileged fish.
There's not really a lot of money in that.
Oh, well, forget it then. No, what else do you have?
Can you scuba dive?
I'm sure I could pick it up. I've been driving for 5 years, no accidents, never took a lesson, didn't even get my driver's license.
Okay. Well, you could get a job on a submarine.
Oh, no thanks. I don't like confined spaces. They remind me of my coffin.
Your coffin?
Yes, in my previous lives.
What? You mean like you see visions of your past lives?
Yeah, just like everyone else.
What can you see?
Well, in my last life, I was a bloodthirsty assassin. And before that life, I was an executioner. And before that, I was a nun. Strangely, that life was easily the most violent.
Right. Sorry, what were we talking about?
A job in the sea.
Right. So, how does scuba school sound?
Well, it's alliteration, and it's three syllables. What else do you
want to
know?
No, I mean, do you want to go to scuba school?
Oh, Well, one question. Do I get to scuba dive?
Yes, that's the general point, I believe.
Okay. But how about a job where I get to wear scuba gear, but like in an office?
Those are hard to come by.
But you're wearing scuba gear.
Yes, but I'm one of the lucky few. Most other officers do frown upon it. This one is very progressive. There is a woman here in accounts who wears Birkenstocks every day.
That doesn't seem so bad.
That's all she wears.
Do you have any jobs going here?
No, not since Dan died of a heart attack last year.
Oh, well, how did he die?
Well, he walked into accounting. So, will you sign up for scuba school?
Maybe. Is there anything else?
And it has to be in the sea.
Oh, yes, and below the waterline. Nothing on top. I like to be on the bottom.
Well, that's about it.
That's it?
I don't have any other careers under the sea.
Why not?
Because humans are not meant to be under the sea. We don't have gills or fins or a love of plankton.
Oh, well, that's because you have to try it with the right bread.
Oh, shut up. This under-the-sea fad is driving me nuts. And you can bet your life everyone will be in here next week and it'll be, ooh, I really want a job in space. Space is so hot right now.
Actually, I hear it's quite cold.
Get out.
Well, can you call me if anything comes up? Even if it's in space.
I don't want to go to space. The food looks rubbish. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Good evening, Elvis and Dolly. We have a very special mission for you today.
Right on. I'm a big fan of the Special Olympics. Funniest show on TV.
No, not that kind of special, Elvis. Jeez, no. I mean, it's an important mission.
Oh, so why are we getting it?
No one else wants to work on Christmas.
Well, it's a good job. We are both alone and single, hey, Dolly?
Yeah, it's great, Elvis.
Ah, cherub, I got you a present.
Really? It's not another box with a suspicious hole in it.
I wouldn't give you the same thing I got you for your birthday. No, it's a magic bullet.
A juicer?
Kind of, but that's a really gross way of putting it.
Getting back to the mission, it's quite simple. You will be providing security for Santa Claus.
Really? That's awesome. I was wanting to meet the guy. He's literally the only guy more famous than me.
It's not the real Santa Claus, Elvis.
Actually, yes it is. And he's raised his terror alert to the second highest level, which on his scale is called, I'm so nervous, I just peed a little.
That is serious.
But not as serious as, I just pooed a little.
Clearly.
Elvis and Dolly, meet Santa Claus.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, big guy?
Oh, easy, fella. It's hard keeping trim when once a year you take the greatest cheat day ever imagined. I got 300 million cookies to take a bite out of tonight.
I can help you with that.
And then there's the brandy. I'm usually hungover till February.
Do you really think we're going to have trouble tonight?
Well, I have 1.5 million Christians to deliver to in Syria. So yeah, maybe. Plus, we gotta go to the States, and without your protection, the TSA are a nightmare! Ho ho ho!
That's why I always ride Coach.
How does that make it easier?
Well, after, Coach gives me free rides in his private jet.
Yeah! On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer, on Vixen, on Blitzen, on Steven, on Brian.
Those aren't the names.
What? Yes, they are. Two of them are new.
What happened to the old ones?
Sold them for glue.
For glue?
Yes, but they're here with us now, holding the presents together.
That's a little grim.
No, we're going green, and so were the bodies once they died. So what's the problem?
Nothing, it's just...
Ah! We're under attack!
I got you, Santa. Eat lead! Where are we now?
We're just passing over Mississippi. We have a hole in the sleigh. We're going to have to land! Hold on tight!
Oh,
everyone all right?
I think so. We all had our seatbelts on.
And the airbag saved my beautiful face. Oh, crap.
Excuse us, but I think you're on our land.
Hey, fella. Why don't you find people just put down your guns?
Don't move or my kid's gonna blow your dick off.
It's my first lynching.
Hey, wait a minute. Ain't you?
Yeah, it's me.
What? No, it's Santa, right?
Yes, it is. And I know your name is Cletus.
That's right. So why ain't you brought me no presents?
Well, why don't you ever guess which one of my list you're on?
Whatever, fatty.
Why does everyone always have to comment on my weight?
Get out of the sleigh and lie down on the ground, all of you. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man, I think this might be the end, Dolly.
Oh, Christ!
Just stay calm, Dolly. It'll be all over fast.
No, look! Christ, over there! What the hell?
You guys look like you could do with a hand. Hello, Cletus.
What?
Say hello to my father for me.
Wow, thanks, Jesus. No problem.
Did you really have to kill all of them?
Yes, it's God's way, and he wanted them all dead. It's above my pay grade, sorry.
The children, too?
Yeah.
Let's get some drinks, J-Dog.
No, Elvis. We have 900 million more gifts to deliver.
Oh, God damn it.
Some say there is a war on Christmas. I'd like to start a war on bad journalism. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
All right, Carl, I've got a plan.
Nice one. I don't fancy any more of this green outfit with pointy hat and shoes. I'm sick of being a rent boy.
Well, not so fast. You're still going to need the outfit.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
Ah, calm down. All we're doing is this. I'm going to dress up as Santa, you be an elf, and we'll rob a bank.
How will the outfits help?
Well, it won't. It'll just look festive.
Nah, we should nick some presents because no one will suspect us dressed like Father Christmas.
When exactly does he usually nick a lot of presents?
Well, what if we walk backwards and then it will look like we're delivering presents in reverse?
That doesn't make any sense, Carl. But maybe we should nick some presents. I mean, you know, they've got to be less well protected.
I know the perfect house.
This is not a house, Neil.
What is it then?
It's Buckingham Palace.
Oh, is this where Elton John lives?
He wishes. No, this is where the Queen comes once a month for a good view of the peasants.
So, how do we get in?
Are you mental? This place is well protected. I mean, guaranteed, we wouldn't stand a chance.
This door's open.
Oh, all right then.
Bloody hell, this place is amazing. Look how many ashtrays they got.
Focus, Carl. We gotta find the tree.
Let's try in here. Oh, I found it.
Oh, nice.
See the other side of this glass. Oh, actually, there are like 20 trees there.
Carl, that's outside.
Oh, right.
Well, it must be around here somewhere.
Philip? Is that you, Philip?
Oh, shh. Be quiet. Quiet.
I need your help. One of the corgis shit on the rug in the bedroom. Can you get the Febreze?
What do we do?
Leave it to me. Coming, dear.
What are you doing? You're not spying on Kate in the shower again, are you?
No, just, getting a drink.
Oh, all right. Well, get me a glass of Sunny D and hurry to bed. You're missing Pleb's Got Talent. I mean Britain's Got Talent.
Righto. Oh, phew, that was close.
I know. So, who's Philip?
The prince, you know, married to the queen.
Well, then why isn't he the king?
I don't know. Makes about as much sense as the rest of it.
We've looked everywhere, Neil. Where the hell are they?
They must be somewhere.
What about all these little cards sitting on the sideboard?
Ah, yeah, they must be doing a cash-only thing. Go on, quick, grab them all.
I'm having one of these big ashtrays too.
That's a fruit bowl, Carl.
Well, la-di-da.
All right, let's see what we got. Ah, oh, bugger. It says we have donated a well to an African village in your honour.
Aw, that's nice of us.
Unlucky, lads. Maybe next time try robbing someone whose main interests aren't the divine right to rule and fox hunting. Next up tonight is a children's rights activist.
Welcome to Moaning with Michael. I'm Michael Fussy. My guest tonight is children's rights activist, James Foster. Good evening, James.
And good evening to you, sir.
A little about James. He is 22 months old, he is from Maidstone in Kent, England, and he has just learned his shapes.
That's correct, Michael.
You don't sound like you're from Kent, James.
Well, that's because I haven't lived there that long, only 22 months.
I see. And can you tell us what it is you're campaigning for?
Certainly. I'm a small part of a large group of people. In fact, I'm only 2 foot, to be exact. And we are interested in the welfare of children.
What is it exactly you are upset about?
Well, you see, the thing is, lately, things have gotten ridiculous. I mean, we've seen a drop in child employment to record lows in this country. We've seen a rise in the cost of kindergarten tuition fees. And worst of all, a complete ban on sugary snacks in elementary schools done without the consulting of a single child.
But aren't the first and third changes at least done with children's best intentions at heart?
Well, my father is a dentist. I mean, how can he afford a good kindergarten if I can't work?
I guess I never thought about it that way.
Exactly. I mean, the modern housing market and slow economic growth means we all have to chip in. You know, every little counts. That's why I'm calling on all politicians to do the right thing for once and let our children work. It's what originally made industrialised countries great. Cheap child labour.
Yes, but now we can do that overseas.
But where's your national pride, Michael?
Hiding with my dignity. That's the end of our time. This was Moaning with Michael.
Children shouldn't have to work, but neither should adults. Last up tonight, Batman is needed.
Master Bruce, the bat signal is in the sky.
Ah, goddammit. It's always in the middle of dinner. All right. Alfred, put my pizza pops under the heat lamp and cancel my appointments.
Your appointments?
The hooker, Alfred.
Hurry up, Master Wayne. The signal's been in the sky for 20 minutes.
Sorry, I had to shower and shave. Okay, I'm ready. Time to save Gotham. Ah, hang on. Where are my keys? Ah, shit. I can't be late again. Commissioner Gordon's gonna shit a brick.
They were on the side.
Which side? This room has four walls, Alfred.
By the bear spray.
We call it bat spray.
I call it autism, but whatever.
They aren't here.
Under the penthouse forums.
Alfred, have you been reading my penthouse forums?
No.
Then why are my keys stuck to the back page?
I'm sorry.
Whatever, just clean this place up. I have lives to save. Oh, Alfred, have you been driving a Batmobile again?
No.
Why does it smell like pot in here?
That's for that Jamaican fella you are.
You mean my doctor? Alfred, we need to talk. Your work has been getting sloppier and sloppier over the last few months, and maybe it's time you found another position.
If you wish, Master Bruce. I will just collect my things. I'm sure you can find someone else to do that thing to you that most people only do in prison.
On second thoughts, you can stay. And, here, have the Batmobile tonight. It's fine. I'll take the Kia Sorento. I wonder if Ask Jeeves misses being a butler. He probably also misses being asked questions. Next up tonight, there's a bit of a fight.
A cat.
How about a caterpillar?
You can't pet a caterpillar.
Yes, you can. Just very carefully.
No way.
How about a catamaran?
A boat?
Yeah, we can be pirates and get shot by the Navy.
No.
What about a cat scan? Maybe those migraines you get are tumors.
No, I'm fine.
Or a cattered holiday?
No.
Or a cattle prod?
I already have one. We somehow ended up buying one last week.
Or a cathator.
For what?
If you're feeling lazy.
Hang on, what are we actually talking about?
I don't remember, darling. Let's watch Netflix.
Oh, Garfield's on here. We should get a cat.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I don't like cats. I much prefer Danny. Next up tonight, we hear from an activist.
And welcome to People with Too Much Time on Their Hands. I'm Diane Righteous, and my guest here tonight is men's rights activist Alan Wining. Hello, Alan.
Good evening, Diane.
What is it you're campaigning for, Alan?
Well, Diane, men everywhere have been
persecuted for being male for nearly 5 years now. Men are being painted as brutish, uncaring, and creepy.
But men are creepy.
But we can't help it. I mean, you wouldn't criticize a dwarf for being short.
It's not quite the same.
It is. It's just the way we look. I mean, what are we to do? Walk around grinning inoffensively? I mean, A, that would be exhausting. And B, then you would just say we all look maniacal.
Okay, so besides perception, what else are you upset about?
Well, as I said, we are not all brutish and aggressive. I am terrified of the dark. I'm scared of talking to women. And I'm petrified of people of other races.
Okay, I kind of get what you're saying about it not being fair to assume men must be brave.
Exactly, or hardworking. I don't want to be a breadwinner. I am perfectly happy to do a bit of vacuuming and make microwave dinners. Fuck getting up for a job.
How progressive of you.
And another thing, we need to stop persecuting men for the way we look. I mean, we can't all look like Hollywood stars. We can't all be hunks like John Goodman and Steve Buscemi.
Right. One final question. How do you intend to go about changing public opinion on these matters?
Well, what we are trying to do is reach out to men using the mediums that they use the most. So we advertise in porn mainly.
Thank you for joining us, Alan. You have been listening to People with Too Much Time on Their Hands. Join us again next time.
I always wanted to fight for a cause, but I could never be bothered. First up tonight, someone is opening presents.
This one's for you, Mummy.
Oh, thank you, darling. Oh, did you wrap this all by yourself?
Yeah.
Aww. Oh, it's a mug.
I made it myself.
Yeah, I can tell.
Oh, do you not like it?
Well, it's just, I got you an Xbox.
Oh.
I mean, what happened to all that pocket money I gave you?
I spent it on sweets.
Sweets? You greedy little... Whatever, I only gave birth to you.
I'm sorry, Mummy.
It's just you knew I wanted that Gucci handbag. How many times do I have to intentionally lose you in the shop till you take a hint? Was 6 times not enough?
I promise I'll do better next year.
I heard Jonathan got his mummy a diamond tennis bracelet.
I'm pretty sure his daddy helped.
Whatever, Kenny, you ungrateful 6-year-old.
Oh dear, buying nice presents is hard. That's why I just send threatening cards. Next up tonight is another Writer's Q&A.
Good evening, and welcome to Writers Without Borders, Chapters or Coles, because they've all been closed. Tonight's panel consists of famed astronomer, an 80s version of Neil deGrasse Tyson, Carl Sagan. Renowned author and leader of the Third Reich, here to promote the republishing of his bestseller, Mein Kampf, it's Adolf Hitler. And lastly, author of his new autobiography, Believing in Myself, it's Justin Bieber. Thank you. First question. You in the turtleneck.
My question is for Mr. Carl Sagan. What do you think of the remake of your Cosmos series?
I made a series to watch stoned. They made one for being on cocaine.
Next question. You in the 1940s Hugo Boss outfit.
Hi, my question is for Hitler. What is your favorite movie?
Honestly, it's too hard to choose between either of the Miss Congeniality films.
Next, you in the... Justin, sit down! No, don't stand in your seat. Sit like a good boy. Here, do some coloring and stop sucking on your thumb or I'll tell your mummy.
No, put the crack pipe down. I won't tell you again. Next question. You with the face tattoo.
My question is for Carl Sagan. Do you believe in the possibility of multiple universes?
It's a possibility, and definitely more likely than a magic man in the sky.
Next question. You in the lab coat.
Mr. Hitler, mein Führer, how close were they, you, to a nuclear weapon, Mr. Hitler?
Not that close. Early on, one guy forgot to carry the one, and our calculations were always off since then. I tried shooting him, but he still didn't get it right. Actually, his work went very downhill after that.
Next question. You, the 14-year-old girl.
My question is for Justin. What's your greatest accomplishment so far?
Justin? Oh, sorry, hon. He's having his nap. It's my fault. I shouldn't have given him his bottle just now. Next question. You holding the papier-mâché swastika.
Hi, Adolf. Big fan. My question is, what is the best place you have ever invaded?
Ooh, that's a tough one. The south of France is, of course, gorgeous, and who can deny southern Italy? But for the sake of argument, I will go with Croatia. It looks so beautiful, lit up during the Blitzkrieg.
Okay, we have time for one more question. You, holding the Bible.
My question is for Carl Sagan. How can you possibly deny the truth written in the Bible?
Well, you see, because in the beginning, I picked up more than just one book.
That's all we have time for today. Join us again for more Writers Without Borders.
Another enlightening Q&A. I'll have to check out Miss Congeniality 1 and 2. Next up tonight, it's a commercial.
New from the people who brought you Hungry Man meals. It's Holiday Hungry Man. We have the traditional Christmas dinner. It's 10 pounds of food just for you. Or try the Hanukkah pack. It's 12 latkes to fill the void. Or if you're really miserable, grab the Kwanzaa case, which is some sort of sweet potatoes and peas thing. It's spicy! So remember this holiday season, you don't have to be a hungry man just because you're a sad, lonely man.
I know what I'm eating tonight. Definitely none of that. Next up tonight, we check out footage uncovered of Hitler's first political rally back in 1923.
Thank you. Thank you. Settle down. Good evening. Quieten down. Thank you. Welcome to the first ever meeting of the Nationalist Socialist German Workers' Party. Oh, that's a mouthful. We should really think about shortening it. By the way, my name is Adolf Hitler, but you can call me Al. I am so excited you could all come tonight, except for you. I already told you you should leave, but you are just ignoring me. This is very rude. Before we begin, just a quick reminder to hold on to your ticket stubs, as you need them to get your free potato salad and bratwurst later. Now, on to business. We have come here today to discuss what we should do about the issues facing Germany, such as the economy. It is very, very bad right now. This much is very obvious. And I, for one, know who is to blame. It's the bloody government. You know, it's the same old faces every year. What is that about, yeah? I mean, if we have to spill a bit of blood to get a change, maybe that is something that we should think about. You know, just put it out there. Just maybe think about it. And another thing, we need to decide on a flag for the pie. I was thinking something patriotic like German sausage, but my advisors tell me it looked like a big schlong. Any other suggestions?
Maybe a German shepherd?
No, I really hate sheep.
How about a nice German beer?
No, we are not designing the logo for a frat. Forget it. I'll just hire a nice graphic designer. Anyway, the last bit of business for today. Please, can you pay your membership fees? I've already paid the deposit on printing our members' t-shirts. I need your checks before you leave, or else I will be forced to write you a very strongly worded letter. Ooh, that felt good to shout.
I wouldn't join the Nazi party, as I'm already a registered member of the Republican Party. Next up tonight, Elvis and Bono are back.
Good evening, Elvis and Bono. Sorry for making you work a weekend.
Ah, not a problem. Sunday is the Lord's Day, and the Lord loves a good ass-kicking.
Ah, Sundays. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Ah, Jesus, he's not gonna sing, is he?
Calm down, I haven't sung since New Year's Day.
Is that meant to be funny?
No, it's because of the vertigo.
Just shut the hell up, you limey bastard.
I'm Irish, you idiot.
Yeah, whatever, same difference.
Whatever, you Canadian.
Oh, you wanna go, buddy? Is that it? You want me to show you some freedom right here, right now, Hulk Hogan style?
Knock it off. You're both equally terrible. Can we just get on with it?
Fine, whatever, dude.
Please continue. You have the Lord's blessing.
Oh, come on, seriously?
As I was saying, the reason we have had to bring you in on a weekend is due to the sudden revealing of shocking information. We've gotten intel that Wimbledon matches have been fixed.
Dear God!
Well, the fuck is Wimbledon?
It's an annual tennis tournament. Part of the Grand Slam.
Grand Slam? Is that something to do with Denny's?
No, this issue is very sensitive for our British allies. Well, at least the rich ones. Especially the Queen. She PVRs all the matches. Apparently she likes the noises.
Don't we all?
And to reinforce that point, she has left you a message I will play for you now. If I can just find the tape. Ah. Hello, I'm Adrian Lexington, and I want to be the next Bachelor.
Oh, wrong tape.
That was a good start.
Oh, thanks.
Good evening, Mr. Presley and Mr. Hewson.
It's pronounced Bono.
Shh!
We have uncovered a black mark on the white dress of our country. We need you both to find the culprits and give them a Chelsea kiss.
Huh?
That is where you cut the git in the corner of their mouths, and then punch them in the stomach, spitting their cheeks.
Jesus Christ!
It is imperative that you mess these gentlemen up real bad. We need to show them whose face is on their money. If you need any assistance, call me on my mobile. I should be in all night, but I might have to pop to the shop for fags later. The British kind, not the rainbow kind. Good luck, and give them one for me, chaps.
Okay. Did we get all that?
One question. Who are the match fixers?
Well, isn't it obvious? It's that Harry kid.
It's Prince Harry? I knew the redhead was evil.
No, it's Harry Styles.
Who?
Bono, explain.
I haven't got a fucking clue.
From One Direction.
What's that? Travel company?
A band.
No, they're not. I've heard them.
Whatever. Not the point. Just go kick that tween idol's ass.
Fine. But I gotta take a shit first. 5 more minutes.
Ah, the British countryside. Almost as nice as Ireland.
Nah, it smells like my Uncle John, who couldn't get out of bed no more.
I loved coming out here to shoot.
Oh, like rabbits?
No, the locals.
So, how's the new artificial legs?
Faster than the old ones, but the penis is smaller, though it is adjustable.
How do you take it down?
Badly. Ah, here it is. Styles Manor.
Man, looks more like a fortress.
Keeps out the crazy fans. Paul McCartney has a moat and pit bulls.
Pit bulls?
Well, he only had to get them after Heather Mills left.
So, how do we get in?
It's an ambush!
It's fine by me. Let them bring the fight. I hate walking. Get my grip!
What's grip?
That's something you say when you're shooting.
Take out that RPG.
Time for some of my homemade C4. Eat this! Okay, man?
My new legs! You broke my frickin' legs again!
Oh, god damn it. Oh, man, they're gonna make me take that health and safety course again.
Good evening, gentlemen.
It's 3 p.m.
Are you disrespecting Harry Styles?
Oh, you can't slap a paraplegic!
I don't care if you drive an ambulance.
That's a paramedic.
Shut up.
Hey, calm down, Harry Potter.
You want some too, fat man?
Hey, easy, buddy.
What are you going to do about it? I'm more powerful than half the nations of the world. Do you know how much money I've made since...
Oh, goddamn, he was annoying.
Elvis,
What have you done?
So what if I didn't give him the Chelsea tickle?
The Chelsea kiss?
Whatever, dude. I don't care if it was the Chelsea blowjob. Killing him is just as good.
Simon Cowell is gonna kill us.
No, he ain't. I got a plan.
Presenting One Direction. Here we go. You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way you are is enough, baby. Come on. Everyone else in the room can see it, yeah. Everyone else but you, I still got it. Baby, you light me up like nobody else. The way you flip your hair gets...
That tune is catchier than Ebola. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that half hour of sketch comedy. That was a sort of best of the last five episodes. Connor, what did you think?
That's all right.
Your enthusiasm just gets more every week.
I thought the beginning was a bit lackluster, I have to be honest. The middle droned on a bit. And by the end, to be honest, I sort of forgot where I was.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm here to have you big up the show every week.
That may be the LSD, though. I can't tell.
Well, if you will do it at school, these things will happen. So, coming up in the next half hour, well, the next 45 minutes, we'll call it, because we're going to be out of here at 12:30 tonight.
See, when you're on LSD, half an hour just feels like 45 minutes.
No, actually, it feels longer. We can tell how much acid Connor's actually done. So we're going to be back in after a few songs to do the White Noise after show, and we'll remind you about our competition, which is of course to win advanced screening tickets to Zoolander 2 here in Vancouver. So stay tuned for more information about that again. But otherwise, you're going to hear some wicked tunes now. First coming up is Houndmouth with 15 Years.
Don't you ever come see me.
ever had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of Whistler? Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar, wheels when you want them.
Tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. for A Little Bit of Soul with your host, Jade Park. A Little Bit of Soul plays primarily old recordings of jazz, swing, big band, blues, oldies, and Motown.
The Study and Go Abroad Fair is back on Thursday, February 25th. Meet face-to-face with top universities from around the world and start planning to travel. Learn about degrees in law, medicine, health sciences, arts, technology, pharmacy, business, hotel management, and much more. Check out our travel zone for volunteering, language programs, adventure travel, and work abroad. For more info, visit studyandgoabroad.com. There's also free admission.
All right, we're back. This is Simon Welton and Connor Necklepot. On the after White Noise After Show.
Moved on to cocaine.
So just before we get into our usual, as we do on the White Noise After Show, we want to remind you that we do have a competition going on today and for the next 2 days, and that is to win advanced screening tickets to Zoolander 2 on February 10th, next Wednesday. We're giving away 2 pairs of tickets, and all you have to do to enter is send in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com your reason why we should give you the tickets. Just come up with anything. Hopefully, if it's funnier, that's probably a good thing. We'll probably lean towards those. But give us a good reason, and we'll give you those tickets. And that's just to remind you, you got to send them in. Send in your reasons to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. And you can send in a couple of reasons if you really want. If, you know, you want to have a few stabs at us.
At Simon.
Don't stab us. That would be too nice. But yeah, see what you can come up with. Send them in. You have till midnight Friday. So you got 2 days to come up with your best reason. But send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
The caveat is that if you do win, you'll be in a theatre with a bunch of people you don't know.
Well, there'll be, yeah, but you're there with a mate if you're getting a pair of tickets.
Yeah, but then the both of you will be there in a theatre with a bunch of people you don't know.
Is that good for you?
Depends. If you're social, not a problem. If you're a bit introverted, you might not like that.
So you're just warning them in case they didn't realise that if you go to the cinema, there might be other people there. Well, thank you, Connor. Thanks for that heads up. All right. So our first topic of discussion for tonight is a controversy that's sort of going around the comedy world at the moment, which is that Amy Schumer has been accused of plagiarism, and a lot of people are getting involved in criticising her.
So she didn't cite her sources, is that the problem?
Well, you're not allowed to have sources when it comes to comedy, unfortunately.
She submitted her script to turnitin.com, and it came up all red.
Yeah, and it said 100% copied, and she ignored it and still let it go through. No. So what actually happened, in case you were wondering, is that a few examples that she's been cited on was on her HBO special. She did a joke which was she brought up a few different euphemisms for sexual acts, and it was very similar to a bit that Patrice O'Neill did, the late Patrice O'Neill, because, of course, he's passed away. I don't know why they call it late, because he's never coming. He's not late. He's gone.
Yeah, so. the gone.
Yeah, they should just say O'Neill, gone Patrice O'Neill. But, yes, and that was back in, 97. The worst bit is they were friends. Like, it wasn't like it was just another random comic. But she claims she's never seen it. And she had no idea. She'd never seen him do that set. And then other issues was she told a joke which was very similar to another female comic, and the joke was along the lines of, what was it?
Something about like on a, paying for dinner or something.
Yeah,
paying for. Like,
yeah, on the first date, I always think a man should pay for sex. Was
yeah,
the joke.
Something like that.
There's a few different examples there. So I'll ask your thoughts first, and then I'll tell you what I think. So what do you think? Do you think she's guilty?
Well, so I heard about it. I was on a Reddit thread, I think, where this became quite popular, and I was looking at it. And apparently, a couple of these jokes, I'm not saying all of them, but I think a couple of them were kind of like stock jokes, kind of like sort of like, you know, jokes you'd hear along the street, sort of street jokes, really. They weren't necessarily originals. I mean, it's like, you know, sharing like a meme. It's just a thing that kind of goes around. I feel like I don't do anything that myself, but I feel like if I were to, I would want. And the struggle is difficult. It's not an easy ladder to climb, I'm sure. But especially when you're at her level, integrity must be really important, I think. And I think that even if it is a street joke, even if it is like a stock joke, you shouldn't settle for that. It might be funny, it might get a laugh, yeah. But like, no, you should try for it. You should try to find something that's actually genuinely worth making a point about, that's generally kind of ridiculous, or something that's your own. Like, you rock your own stuff and don't settle for stuff that has been said before, or everyone knows, or whatever the case may be. And in the case where, if it is like actually pure plagiarism, well, I mean, then like, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think it's intentional. I think what we're looking at is a couple of low-hanging fruit sort of jokes, which not maybe the second one. Having said that, when you come up with that setup of I always think a man on a first date should pay for. You know, there's only so many options you can throw in there. And she did have a little commentary after that, which was original. So, yeah, I don't think it's intentional. And I think it's more of a criticism of doing easy jokes than it is, and the thing is, when you're doing like hour long specials, for there to be one or two questionable jokes in the entire thing is probably not a bad ratio to have. I don't think it's intentional because, yeah, it's career suicide. I mean, there are people that have been caught more blatantly, far more blatantly than this. Like the Carlos Mencia problem was that he took a joke by Bill Cosby, which was all about being a dad and your son playing football, and literally just changed it to his son playing baseball. So it was like, you know, it was so on the nose. Whereas what she did with the Patrice O'Neill thing was she took a few already sort of public domain ideas. Like there was like the gorilla mask, which she called the Lincoln, which is a gross thing. I don't even want to say it on the radio. You can Google it if you really want to. And
concrete stomach.
yeah. And there's a couple of others. The Houdini, which I've heard called like 12 different things. Which is where...
Is that where you lock yourself in a chest and die?
It's where you basically are having sex with a woman from
behind. Hey, let's not exclude or a man, homosexual couples.
Or a man, and then you slip out somehow, and another guy goes in without the person knowing, and then you go outside and manage to wave through the window while the other guy's doing it. I think the only way that could ever work is if you had an identical twin that she didn't know about, and you got him to just go outside and wave, then that would work. But otherwise, it just doesn't even make sense, to be honest. But anyway, so yeah, so those that so it was sort of like, you know, jokes that aren't really,
and it isn't as far-fetched as you might think. It is possible for comedians who spend a fair amount of their lives thinking of jokes and observing things or coming to realizations about things that they find amusing. It isn't actually that far-fetched that people can arrive at very similar conclusions and present very similar jokes, as you were just sort of saying earlier.
Yeah, it's called parallel thinking. And it's definitely something that people worry about. But, I mean, a lot of the time, what would happen is, like, when I did stand-up, you know, you'd do a joke at an open mic or a show and someone would come up to you and go, oh, so-and-so does a joke just like that. And they've already released a video, you know, a DVD or something, or a video of them doing that exact joke. And you look it up and you go, actually, you know, it's already better done than my joke. And you just let it go. You say, fair enough.
But you do have to put it up there, because otherwise that person could say that and you go, all right, fair enough. And then they take your joke and put it up like the next day on their own little program.
Well, what I'm saying though is, it's if it's already like a joke that is widely available through some medium, then you got to just say fair enough. I mean, I do know lots of comics though. I have heard and I've seen them do it where you go, excuse me, mate, but that joke's similar to so-and-so or whatever. And they go, yeah, and just carry on and don't give a damn. And that's fine, but that limits you. And, yeah, in this day and age, as Morrissey once said, there's always somebody with a big nose who trips you up when you laughs at you when you fall.
No? You know what they say about men with big noses?
Go on.
What? Jewish.
Okay, thanks, Connor. Disregard that, people, please. all right, so we're agreement then, like, basically, Amy Schumer, yeah, you know, probably didn't mean to do it, might have been parallel thinking, but she should, just keep writing. And, because I think one of the sketches also she got accused of, but it might not have been a sketch she wrote because it was on her show, which, of course, is written by multiple writers, as most sketch shows on TV are. So that's, you know, again, might be parallel thinking, but yeah, if you're writing jokes, guys, aim a bit higher than something that you might have heard a million times. All right, let's play a song and we'll come back. This is the Stanfields with Fight Song.
They're rattling the rapiers and prancing in their livery. They're howling at the gates again. Hot time in the old town tonight. Get yourself together and meet me at the magazine. We're gonna have a reckoning. Hot time in the old town. Tonight, 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 we're gonna make it. Hey!
about you when we turn it up and fall upon the old sworn enemy. I'm dying in the old town tonight, tonight, tonight. We're gonna make it our own, but we're gonna do it right. Tonight, tonight, we're gonna make it our own, but we're gonna do it right. In the old town tonight. Tonight, tonight, we're gonna make it. Hey-o! Our own, but we're gonna do it right. Tonight, tonight, we're gonna make it. Hey-o! Our own, but we're gonna do it right.
Unquestionably one of the greatest and most influential British metal bands of all time, Cradle of Filth comes to Vancouver on February 24th, presented by Union Events with special guests Butcher Babies and Naoble Viscares. Tickets are available at unionevents.com, ticketfly.com, and Scrape Records. Don't miss the raw and rambunctious savagery of Cradle of Filth on February 24th, doors at 8 p.m. Tickets on sale now.
Yeah.
All right, that was Odd Limbs with One Arm Man, and before that was the Stanfields with Fight Song. All right, so I'm in the studio. This is Simon Welton hanging out with Connor Necklebook.
Hello, Simon.
On the White Noise After Show. So our next topic for tonight is something that's been all over Twitter and Facebook today, which is, of course, the controversy over a US blogger who goes by the name of Rush V, who has been organizing around the world rallies for what he calls Return of Kings rallies, which is basically him promoting this sort of cliche of masculinity. And also he's written a bunch of other things that people are particularly appalled about. The main one is a blog he wrote basically suggesting that rape on private properties should be legal. And his argument for this is that because of the fact that he sees a double standard in that women, if they get drunk and get in a car and crash a car, would be deemed responsible and would be arrested for that. But if they're inebriated and then someone has sex with them and, then they, you know, regardless of the circumstances, then say that they were raped because they weren't happy with it, then he feels that's a double standard. And the only way he sees to resolve, which is a very complicated issue that we are talking about, is to basically say that, yes, if you rape someone in like a public place, like if it's down an alley, that's still assault, sexual assault. But if it's in a private dwelling, then by entering the private dwelling, you're consenting to any sexual acts that occur. And that's basically your consent. And therefore, there's no rape on private property. And that's what he wrote. Obviously that is taking a complex issue of consent to a logical or illogical conclusion of just, creating this, there's so much gray area in doing something like that, that of course that would not work. And it's mental, but the thing is, I worry that because this is something that I'm sure men, including all of us, probably have worried about, is being wrongly accused of, a sexual assault.
Maldeeds.
Yeah, because that even if it wasn't true, that sort of accusation, if it became public, could ruin people's reputation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kidding.
Even if you're later to be found innocent, people will still judge as they do. And
once the thought's there, that sort of seed's planted, it becomes difficult. Because everything you think about that person, whatever, is it's always, even if you don't think it's true, it's always sitting at the back of your head there, kind of just stewing, if not very out in front, and you're accusing them of being a terrible person, perhaps correctly, perhaps not correctly.
Right, so my worry is that someone like him may attract followers because of people's fears, which is a lot similar to how like someone like Trump works, in that it's tapping in to the fear of those actually in the majority and perhaps in the power. It's tapping into their fears to try and win their support. So there's interesting parallels here. But what's the answer then? Do you ban this gentleman from having any free speech? Because especially in the US, that seems to be something that, if the Westboro Baptist Church can do what they like, then you can't really say Rush V can't.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to ban him from America, or from Canada, and I think in the UK they had another petition to do such a thing. I don't know. What do you think? What's the answer
here?
Well,
I mean, regardless of whether his point has merit, and I think he has a point in the comparison of the inebriation scenarios you laid out, but I agree his final conclusion I don't understand really at all. But for every movement, there's a counter movement. There's always people who can get fed up, who might be the ones in power, who might not, who want to do something different, who get really pissed off about things people do. So now that there's this whole campaign about, but making sure consent is a very, is at the forefront of people's minds, is a very vocalized topic, so everyone knows what's up. People who are And I don't know why, but people who are resistant to that idea, who think, like, hey, you guys are messing with, like, a system that doesn't that was kind of fine, whatever. Like, are you really doing anything? There's always going to be people who, now that there's a movement to make it more transparent, to make it more appropriate, whatever, at least in the language of those who do that, and I agree, there's always going to be a counter-movement. So regardless of what his point is, people are going to flock to his side because he's doing the opposite of what this movement is to more make sexual intercourse more transparent and sort of accountable, and to make sure that there's less question marks around it. And you think all those things are good things, but there's always been people on the other side.
Yeah, my two thoughts on that, continuing that idea, is that you know, part of what he's doing is he's creating a sort of straw man argument by sort of painting up those who are, you know, on the other side as the sort of extreme of the idea of feminism, which is, rather than we're talking about, you know, what most people would agree, which is equality of the sexes and a removal of expectations for each sex, in that you can be whatever you want and whatever you are, regardless of gender, and gender doesn't come into it. That isn't who you are. That is merely, you know, part of your DNA. But it's, you know, it's not your personality, and it doesn't have to reflect in your opportunities or anything like that, right? But you can take that further to extremes where and that's the thing, is he's trying to, like, push up against these extremes rather than looking at what the majority of people in the opposition are actually talking about. And the second thing is, I would say that he's making it sound like, yeah, like, it's a harder thing to do than it is to just ask for clear consent. If you're with someone for the first time, or even if you've been with someone a few times, make sure you're communicating correctly. And it's, you know, if you're worried that it's going to kill the mood, you know what will really kill the mood? If you rape somebody. Like, well, no, don't worry about killing the mood. I think she'd respect you more, or he would respect you more, if you ask for clear consent. You know, in the same way, nobody has ever been offended for someone stopping to get a condom. No one's like, well, forget, you know, that is weird. And, you know, that's bizarre.
It builds suspense.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and you can make it fun. You can help. You can get her to help, you can do the condom dance. Yeah, absolutely.
Condom dance.
Like, you know, it doesn't have to be difficult, and you can still, yeah. There's you know, nothing wrong with even casual consensual sex. But you know, make sure you're safe and make sure you're consensual. It's not that hard. And if he thinks it's that hard, man, he's living in, I mean, you know, this is the icing on the cake, because if you look into him, he also does have a problem with homosexuality. He believes in, like, gender roles, and that basically the patriarchal society was a perfect system. Well, it was for men, because you were oppressing half the people. So yeah, it was bloody brilliant for men, you know, but if he does, I think it's sad that he can't understand how much richer his life would be if he just embraced, this sort of fluidness of sexuality, and that he could, you know, if there was no genders, then, you know, he could try things probably that he would otherwise think are women's things that he might really enjoy. He might be a great baker, and he has no idea, and he's never going to enjoy it. He might actually really enjoy a lot of things that he stereotypes as female activities, and I think that's his loss, and it's really sad. And I hope that most men can read between the lines and not get sucked in to this them against us fight, because it's not. This is for men as much as it is for women, the fight for equality, because we don't have to be masculine. We don't have to stand there and pretend that we don't have feelings, we don't hurt, and that we don't have problems. You know, if you talk to someone and you let out what is hurting, it doesn't hurt as much. Anybody, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. If you talk to someone about it, you'll feel better about it, even if they can't solve any issues, you know. And this is perhaps something that a lot of women have known for a long time, and that's why they, you know, they are more vocal. And yeah, don't miss out on things because you think you can't do it because you have a penis. Like, that's all I'm saying.
I think there's another angle to look at this, and I think potentially interesting. Leaving apart what his perspective is, because I think you're right. I don't think his overall stance is particularly accountable. But in trying to instigate societal change, it's interesting to look at. There's always extremes on one side or the other, right? So there's people who, in this case, apparently think that along his lines that you should rape is fine if it's in your own private home.
Well, yeah, because basically what he's trying to get away from the legality issues.
Yeah, but then there's an opposite side where I don't know what the opposite of that is. Like, I'm not sure what the opposite of that is, but there's an extreme on the opposite end of this.
The opposite would sort of be that every single sexual act is rape unless you have, I don't know, some sort of written contract,
yeah.
I guess, would be the other extreme.
Something to that degree, yeah. But I mean, regardless of what the issue is, so every sort of issue of societal change has always been two extremes. And you think about it like bargaining. If you're trying to get, let's say, $5 from someone, you're in a bit of negotiation, you don't go, hey, I want $5. Because then they're like, oh, I'll give you $3. And then you get $5, then $3. And then it doesn't work out. But if you start higher, if you say, I want $10, they might go, all right. And then they say, I'll give you $6. And then you've already got what you want. So in that sort of sense of imagining a bargain, you're trying to bargain with someone, I wonder if you could apply that same principle onto these kinds of issues. And not in the sense that I think that they're intentionally conscious, as if you're on the extremes of trying to pull heavier and trying to get more sort of... leeway, but in a way, I wonder if it does work like that a little bit. So
absolutely.
Shoot, and then the moderate people who are going, I see his point, kind of, but I'm not going that way. I'm going to stick around this little middle zone. People go, okay, that seems all right. I think I'll go for that. And in that way, it might alter the change a bit more, maybe, and maybe not, but a bit more than if the moderate people went, well, we could change things a little bit.
Well, absolutely. In all politics, there is, hopefully, some sort of compromise in if you're dealing with two-party system, or at least, you know, three-party. Hopefully, there's lots of parties, but however many parties you have, there's generally some compromise unless you have a majority house all the time on all issues. And yeah, usually in that debate, you have your ideals in politics, and then you have what you'll take
your concessions
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's true, obviously. And yeah, I mean, you see that a lot in all the bills that get passed. I mean, a great example is the Healthcare Act in America, which is also known as Obamacare. And funny enough, that original idea was the idea pitched by a Republican. My brain's gone. The Mormon who ran...
Romney. Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Mitt Romney. It was actually Mitt Romney's idea, what they eventually came up with. But by the time, because and what the original idea Obama had was something similar to sort of a universal healthcare system of sorts, like we have in Canada. And they fought and fought and fought, and they ended up with, what they ended up trying to pass was Mitt Romney's idea. And by that point, it had been about a year or two, the Republicans were then like, no, that's a terrible idea. This is, you know, this is a Democratic rubbish, blah, blah, blah. But really, like, the plan they came up with is exactly what initially the Republicans wanted. And it's kind of sad that even then they couldn't get that through.
Yeah.
Like, it still had to go to the Supreme Court. It still had to go through horrendous backlashes and filibusters and all sorts of fucking around in both houses. And they eventually passed it. But goddamn, it was watered down from the original concept. And that's what compromise is in politics. All right, that's about all the time we have. We're going to
If I might say one thing as well, just one last comment is that... So you said that some people might be trying to ban this guy. I can't remember his name now, but Mr. R or whatever.
Roosh V.
Oh, sorry. His pseudonym. And I know that happens a lot to other people as well. People who have... views that don't quite gel with maybe the sort of concurrent sort of zeitgeist, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to get them maybe no platformed in debates, or they try to get people banned. Obviously, I think people try to get Donald Trump banned from the UK, bits and pieces. And I don't think that's. I don't understand that. Because, I mean, I've come to university and I've come with an open mind. I want to hear what people have to say. And I want to consider it and analyze it and hear what other people have to say, and then form good views about that. I think if you take the word of someone like Trump, who's a radical, who's someone like this guy, Vishar, whatever his name is, who's a radical, who's an extremist, you don't need to take their side. But you can listen to what they're saying, and you can go, hey, all right, I see what you're kind of going at, and I think, you know what, maybe there's something, or I think, you know what, no, I think that's, you know, your idea isn't for me, and then you have your own opinion, and then you can tell other people that if you so desire. But the idea, but hearing people out and seeing, because often what people say or what they're trying to represent isn't always as obvious as what they really mean. Or they say things that are more radical than they really intend, or things that mix up. So I think giving people a chance, even if their views seem weird, just give you a chance to be heard. And then you, as a critical thinker, as an open-minded person, can understand that and go, well, yes, no, 80%, 40%, 0%, negative 40%, whatever. But like, don't get them banned. Like, I mean, if they're being a danger to the public, sure. If this guy's platform is like, here, let me demonstrate a rape inside. Yeah, that's like, no. But like, just for like a talk or just to hear them say something, as long as they're not inciting hate. Again, I hate speech. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think some people say it's borderline that.
That could cross onto that, and I understand that. But in general, though, people who have radical views, maybe hear them out. Again, you don't have to agree with them. But as long as if you hear them out, you might get a better idea of what they're saying, and you might come around and say, all right, at least I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, a lot of people have like positioned him as pro-rape in articles. Like, I'm looking at one right now on the CBC. And I wonder how many people actually read the blog, that he wrote before sort of talking about it. Because, yeah, if you want to criticize someone, read what they wrote first and then come at it with some real information rather than just
absolutely
just whitewashing it, because then you're no more useful in the conversation than anybody who just ignored it. So anyway, that's all the time we have for this week. A bit of a heavy end there, but I think it was worth it. I think it was an interesting conversation to have. That was the White Noise After Show. I just want to quickly remind you guys, we do have that competition going on. You've got 2 days to send in, but you've got 2 days, but do it now while you remember. If you want to win tickets to Zoolander 2 advanced pre-screening here in Vancouver on February 10th next week, make sure you send in your entries to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. And all we're asking for is tell us why you need those tickets. Give us a good reason and we'll send you a pair of tickets. We've got 2 pairs to give away. So send in your answers and we'll give them away. You have till Friday midnight, okay? So make sure you do that. We're going to leave you with one track. I was going to play a different one, but we went a bit long. So we're going to play an artist we had last week on, and me and Connor digging this album really hard. So we're going to play another track from her. This is Beja Balat and this is La La Lai. So we'll be back next week for a new episode. So tune in then and we'll see you soon. Have a good week.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
Stressed lately? UBC Yoga Club is here to offer you a peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities.